Well, hello, my BMX nerd friends. Welcome back to another episode of Canode Knows, brought to you by Dig BMX. It is the 4th of July, so happy 4th of July to everybody in America, and happy Wednesday to the rest of you guys in the world. Brad Sims came over to my house. That's a sentence I never thought I would get to say. So I was like, I've been doing this podcast for a minute. I got to interview my heroes, but I've never really been like, whoa. And then when Brad Sims pulls up in a Porsche Taycan Electric to my front yard and gets out of his car and kids are screaming from the pool, like, yeah, you're rich. Like, it was a trip. So I really enjoyed talking to him, and I was nervous, but I think it went well. It's like, you know, an hour and a half long. I hope you guys enjoy it. We talk about everything. And then also this was recorded a couple weeks ago, and we waited because he's got Adidas 510 signature shoes out that are out now. Yeah, so he shows you them in the middle of it. So you'll get to see those in the middle of the show. Go support Brad. But first, go support rawlife.com and get some green superfoods. Promo code Canode and get 15% off. And you're supporting local homies John Mata and Joey Mata. And you're making your body better by putting some green stuff inside of it. You really do like feel the difference. And if you're on an unhealthy pattern, it's a good way to, like, you know, start a new healthy pattern. So yeah, life's dope. Brad Sims is dope. Hope you guys enjoy this episode. Happy 4th of July. Let's get into it. Brad Sims in my house.
Okay.
Hi, Brad.
What's up?
Welcome to the podcast.
Are you recording?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Cheers.
Cheers to that. What is that?
Zevia. Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
It's the shit. It's soda, but it's sweetened with stevia, so it doesn't spike your insulin.
Actually, no, I haven't heard of it.
It's fucking fire.
Or stevia, not Zevia.
Yeah. It's actually blowing up. It's kind of cool. It's showing up in stores everywhere. I'm a big fan. It helped me. I was just telling you I lost 100 pounds. It helped me lose the weight big time.
You lost 100 pounds.
Pretty much, yeah. I lost 80 pounds over the course of 4 years.
Pretty close.
60 pounds in a year.
Yeah. Congratulations to that.
Thank you.
It sounds like, you know that song, that Big Pun song? What is that? I just want to be like Pun. He goes, I just lost 100 pounds. I'm trying to live.
Hell
what
yeah.
Talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, big up to you on that one.
Thanks, man. You've never been out of shape, huh?
Not really, no.
I remember a clip of you, like, doing a push-up challenge. Trip, come here.
Oh, with
get out of here.
With what's his name? Bruce Chrisman.
Yes.
Yeah. We were in Brighton.
Yeah.
Brighton
name ready, no?
And Bruce had challenged me to a push-up contest.
Yeah, he did.
Like, all right, Bruce. I don't think you're going to beat me, but let's test it out. And I think he did. I don't remember how many did, but
I want to say like 40, 50 or something.
Yeah. And I beat him.
So yeah, you did. How many did you do? 100? I feel like
no, I just did enough to beat him. I think it was like 50 something.
That's fucking still. I couldn't do 50 even now. How many do you think you could do right now? You want to do a push-up challenge?
Right now, I don't know what I could do. I could probably blast out, probably 85 to 100.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome.
I think so.
Has it been like a concerted effort to like stay in shape like this, or it just kind of naturally came, or from your childhood, like upbringing, like what's fitness to you?
It's just ingrained into me. Like, my mother was always very physically fit.
Nice.
All my uncles, and just...
So it just wasn't even an option to, like, be lazy or be out of shape? Like,
yeah, you had to. Like, you would get shamed.
Yeah.
Like, there was no, like, there was no body positivity.
Yeah, dude.
It was like, you need to be in shape.
Yep.
And that's it. Like, you're not going to be going to school looking this way.
Looking sloppy.
Or, no. You had to fit into this box.
Fuck yeah.
Was that? Yeah.
Shout out to your mom. That's awesome. Like, fat shaming worked on me. Low-key.
Yeah.
Should we get him out of here? He's fucking going to kiss you on the face, too. He's like staring you down.
I know you want to, you know, be a part of the show right now, and you need some attention.
Let's get him out.
You can do it right now, all right?
Come here.
There
we go. All right.
Is he a doodle?
That'll do. He is a soft-coated Wheaton Terrier.
I had never heard of it.
When I got him, there we go.
Is he a part of every show?
Yeah, he kicks it. He's either like, and if I'm recording in there, he's sitting on the couch behind me, or if you saw what happens when people are here, he particularly likes you more than everybody else that's been here in person.
Hmm.
All right, it's a trip. to be sitting here with you, because I remember being 18, 19, watching Shook It's On religiously, like over and over and over and over again. Like, I have that shit memorized. Like, I can recite your fucking opening line from that shit, dude. So thanks for coming over. What are you doing here in Arizona?
I honestly came out here to do the podcast because I have some some big news, and you hit me up a few months ago about you know, coming on the show, but I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do like a Zoom
Of fucking glad you didn't
FaceTime. So I was like, you know what, I was already in Denver working on some stuff. I had to go out there and meet up with my manager.
Yep.
We spoke for a bit, did everything, and I thought about it as well. If I'm already out here and it's a 1 hour flight to Phoenix, I might as well just go over, do the podcast.
Hell yeah.
And you know, make some big announcements.
Let's make a big announcement. What's the announcement?
What are you talking about?
What's in the box?
Oh, in the box. Well, we might have something here from Adidas 510. We got him.
Ooh, wait.
Well, people have been asking, when am I going to have either a signature shoe or a colorway? Here we go. This is the Brad Sims signature colorway. Look inside. See the signature?
Hell yeah.
Look at that.
Nice.
Boom. Black, gold.
Congrats, dude. How does one get a signature shoe? How did it happen for you? Like, what's the process of this shit?
The process? A lengthy process.
Yeah.
That was my first time having to, you know, go through any of that. And
ooh, that's like soccer tongue, dude. That's fire.
Yeah. No, you just kind of sit down because it's a colorway.
Yeah.
So the mold was already there. So I didn't have, I didn't have to make any like structural changes.
Yep.
So there wasn't that much of a process there. Had I made a structural change and like redesigned the whole shoe, then that would have taken much longer, especially dealing with a big company.
Yeah.
Like, they don't just make a mold and put out a shoe.
Right. 2 or 3 months. It has to go through a bunch of hoops
so many hurdles.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah.
So, whose shoe is this? And is it somebody's shoe, or is it just a shoe and then like people are getting colorways, or?
It's the Sleuth. It's a versatile shoe.
Nice.
So you can ride, you know, you want to BMX in it, mountain bikes, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's good for everything.
It's like sturdy. Have you ridden in them yet? Have you worn them or ridden in them yet?
Yeah. If you paid attention to some of my clips, like me riding a trials bike or BMX bike, I've already had the shoes on.
Nice.
I just haven't really zoomed in on them to show anything.
Hell yeah. That's dope, dude. Congrats. Congrats again.
Thank you.
So how do people get it? Do you know yet?
How do people get it?
Yeah.
Well, you'll be able to go to Adidas site and they'll be available there. Go look at the 510s, the 510s section.
Sick.
And
that supports you, right?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
Congrats, dude. That's fire.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
And this is brand new news, dude. Sick. We got an announcement, you know?
Yeah. I mean, this is my first time with... it's not my first time having a signature product, but first time having a colorway with a shoe.
First shoe, right? Or no? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking like low tech back in the day, but I don't think you were ever on low tech or anything.
No, I rode for DC.
DC, years ago. I remember. Yeah.
That was short lived, but now, we're locked in over here.
Fuck yeah, aspire, dude. How did Adidas come about? I know you've talked about this on other podcasts, but what was the, are you reaching out to this company or somebody, like you have a manager, you said, did that come first? How did Adidas 510, and like, I know Colin's on it and more people are getting on, I think. Am I right about that or no?
Yeah, Colin and DeMarcus, they're also on.
Shout out those two, dude.
Yeah,
they're fucking
big shout
awesome.
Out to Colin and DeMarcus. It happened, this was just during the pandemic. I was out doing my Instagram thing.
Yep.
And
we all know what your Instagram thing is. I love it. Fucking awesome.
I was just kind of looking around and I was wondering, I want something that nobody in BMX really has right now.
Yeah.
Like, where do I look? So I started looking at shoe brands. Then I just saw that Adidas had been working with mountain biking. Like, hold on, they're working with mountain bike. And I knew some mountain bike riders, but I didn't really give it much thought. And one day I saw a video of my friend Thomas Genome.
He's a mountain biker?
Yeah. Incredible rider.
Yeah.
So Thomas had posted some videos, and I was looking at it, and I saw his jersey. I was like, Adidas 5'10".
What is that? Yeah. And what does 5'10" mean, by the way?
5'10"? It started out, like, they merged together. At first, it was just a climbing shoe.
Oh, 5'10".
And then Adidas bought
Word, 5'10". Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So that became their extreme sports, like,
type thing. Outdoor. So it's all under them. So Adidas, 5'10", and Terex.
Nice.
Terex is also the outdoor, like more like a lot of the running, hiking, all that gear. So, and that's where we are. We're on the outdoor side.
Yeah.
It's all Adidas. There's just entities within the brand.
Right. So, yeah.
For example,
because Adidas is a fucking monster, you know?
That's So the same thing. If you were to work with, if you get on Adidas and you were sponsored by, if you're a basketball player, then you're under the basketball umbrella.
Right.
You know, or hockey or lacrosse or tennis or, you know.
So the main sports, yeah.
Right.
I interrupted. You were talking about Thomas, and then you saw his 5'10 jersey.
Right. So I saw Thomas' 5'10 jersey and his shoes, and it kind of blew my mind for a second. I'm like, why hasn't anybody said anything about this? How have I not known about it? And I asked some people, and they said, it was supposed to come to fruition, like, years ago. Like, some people, you know, were talking about having a team.
Yeah.
But nothing happened. Then, 2020 came around, and I had just a lot of momentum going.
Yep.
So I reached out to Thomas, and Thomas said, he told me, I'll shoot you an email.
I'll shoot you an email. Yeah.
I'll shoot you an email. I'll give you
the connection.
I'll give you the connection.
He CC'd him.
Yeah.
Hell
so
yeah.
He CC'd me on it, and I just sat there for a minute, thought about it. I had my pitch deck all together.
Nice. For your personal brand, like, pitch deck.
Yeah. I said, you know what? Here we go. Let me shoot my shot.
Hell yeah.
Passed the email off, and I actually received an email. I received a response pretty quickly. But CJ, the manager at the time, she was interested, but still not 100% sure.
Hesitant.
Yeah, she was a bit hesitant on the whole thing. So we talked. So she emailed me, and what she said was, I can see that you're a legit rider. Everything looks good. However, if I were you, I would entertain looking for some other, shoe sponsors.
Huh.
You know, and I thought, damn, that's not reassuring, right?
Yeah.
But she said, I can send you some shoes to test out and give me some feedback. So I think that was her just kind of testing the waters to see if I was really, if I was really interested in, representing the brand.
Right.
And there's just, there at the time, there was nothing BMX related over there.
Yeah.
So we emailed, we went back and forth a bunch of times. Then I just started going harder and harder on Instagram.
Hell yeah.
And I was getting, people started asking about my shoes. I didn't say anything. They were like, what are those? What are you riding?
Yeah, what are those? And yeah, with the 5'10 logo.
Yeah,
because
some people see they see the 5, but they don't realize that
it's also a 10.
Also,
and it's Adidas
there. And a 10. It's all that. And also, my name on the inside. Right? So,
what shoes were you rocking in 2020? What was your first pair of 5'10s?
Right there.
No shit, the same one, yep. Yeah. Dope.
If you remember, if you look back, I was wearing the white ones a lot.
Yeah.
The white ones with the gum sole. I was wearing the black ones with the red stitched outline on them.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, we went back and forth with that. And I was on a trip. I was out in Washington. And I had sent her a few emails and didn't hear anything back. And I said, man, I was like, something's up. And I was like, this has got to happen.
Yeah.
So I sent another email. Then I received one back in 10 minutes. And I was like, oh, like a damn near jumped out of my shoes, right?
Yeah.
Because I was already there. I was wearing the shoes, doing everything. And that's when she said, okay, what do you need to make this work?
Nice.
And this was the first time anybody had really asked me, like, I need to make, something work, at least in the bike industry.
Right, yeah. Other companies would be like, here's what you get. if that, you know.
Right. So yeah. Take it or leave it.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you need to make this work? And kind of scratched my head for a second.
Yeah, so I was going to say, how long did it take to think about that?
It didn't take that long. I sat there for a minute and just to process and said, well, I think apparel and footwear would make the most sense.
Yeah.
At least to get the most out of me.
Right.
You know, and that way I won't have to go off, you know, searching for, you know, another brand.
Yeah.
I can be under one umbrella.
Yeah.
You know, for like footwear and apparel is great with Adidas. They make everything.
Yep.
So that was a no brainer there. So yeah, we talked for a bit, ran it back and forth. Should have went through loads of meetings and all this stuff, because at that time Adidas was not taking on BMX.
Yeah.
It was just mountain bike and all the
and then
sports.
Here comes Brad.
Then I just kept,
he came in there.
Yeah, I was just
I love it.
I was I was determined.
Yeah, you were.
Just to make it happen.
Is this the infamous like 6 months that you had to, you set yourself to make it work? Is it because I heard you talk about that?
Yep.
That's fire.
It was that, yeah. 6 months. But that deal didn't really come to life until, let's see, in that the summer of 2020, no, fall of 2020, that's when I got the ball rolling.
Yeah.
There. But then it got a little shaky and I was a little unsure.
Mm-hmm.
Some emails kept going back and forth. Then it was, I finally received a contract. Got a contract.
Nice.
Went over everything. And I think January. I get signed. When I made my announcement, I signed a contract like 2 days before that.
Nice. Yeah.
So it was official. It took damn near a whole year to make it happen.
Well, with a big company like that, I heard it takes like that long with Red Bull or other big sponsors like that, which is, you know.
Yeah, they have a real, not all of them, but some of them, they have a vetting process.
Yeah, you got to, you know. Yeah. Like, bring it, that's serious, dude. Like, you're the first BMX around 5'10". So then, now that Colin and DeMarcus are on, is that your doing? Like,
yep.
That's so sick.
I opened the door up and it felt great.
Yeah.
You know, because the first year it was me and I'm doing my thing, and after that I was kind of looking around. I was getting hit up by everybody, like all the magazine brands, all the top videographers, dudes, everybody was hitting me up and like, hey, what are they doing? Are they gonna start a team? Do you want to film a video part? Everybody was hitting me up.
Yeah.
And I knew, I understood, I was like, okay, cool, you know, big brand.
Yep.
You want to get in there. You know, like people are, you know, concerned whether or not they're here to stay, you know, and so forth. So we had to think about it for a minute.
Yeah.
And for a minute, it felt a little lonely. Not that lonely. It only felt lonely because I wanted to help people.
Yeah.
I wanted to help, you know. It's nice, it's cool, like things are going well for you, but it's also, you know,
bring everybody up with you.
Yeah, it's a great feeling. You can extend an olive branch and, you know, pull some people up.
Yep.
And I told DeMarcus early on, before I even made it happen,
mm-hmm.
I mentioned it to him. I said, if I get this deal,
said, you're coming with.
I was like, there'll be a good chance. And I said, if you receive an email, it's going to happen.
Hell yeah.
Then a whole year went by. Then spring of
2022.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, a whole year went by where it's just you, and then you bring people on in 2022.
Actually, I don't even think it was spring. It was later than that. Maybe it was spring.
Yeah. So what are your thoughts on, like, because so many companies have come into BMX and then they just bounce, you know? They come in kind of like half-assed, like, okay, let's just do it. And I forget. I honestly can't even remember it. Levi's comes to mind, but that they didn't really half-ass it. They kind of went balls to the wall, but then it stopped making sense. Like, what are your thoughts with Adidas and 5'10"? Are they here to stay? Like, do you feel secure with it? Like,
yeah, I feel secure. I don't.
Are they hyped on doing the BMX shit?
They're hyped on me in general, just riding bikes, because I'm, you know, a multifaceted,
yep,
you know, athlete.
When did that start, the multifaceted shit?
Mountain biking?
Yeah.
Not long after I made the announcement, because I was I went riding mountain bikes before. I went riding with Christian Regal, Brandon Seminook, and like Logan Pete, and a few other guys. We went out there. Corey was there. Corey Martinez, Dennis Anderson.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we just had one crazy crew. And
yeah,
I was tired from riding one day. I'm kind of banged up from filming my real BMX part.
Yep.
And Christian's like, yeah, you want to go ride mountain bikes? Yeah, sure, okay. Didn't really give it much thought. Then we show up, and I didn't even know who Brandon Seminuk was at the time.
No shit.
But I'm like, we're standing here with
one of the goats,
you know, of mountain biking. And I get there, and I was like, okay, I saw the Red Bull helmet. I'm like, Red Bull helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, mountain biking. They have like 7-8 extra mountain bikes for us. We get there, and I hadn't ridden trails in probably 3 years at that time. I was just 100% street, and maybe a little, you know, park here and there.
Right.
But mostly street.
Yeah.
And we go to the spot out in Santa Cruz, and we get there, and we just go for a ride, and have like the most fun I've had in years riding a bike, you know. And it wasn't like a stressful day riding. It was just normal.
Cruising,
doing something I've never done before.
Yeah,
you know, at least riding at that pace, and that day stuck with me for a while.
Hell yeah!
And I just kept thinking about it, and I said, you know what? If I'm on Adidas now, like I also got sponsored by Maxis, so Maxis came into play.
Yeah.
So if I'm on Adidas. Adidas 510 team is predominantly mountain bikers.
Yeah.
Why not get a mountain bike?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Why not try this out? So I got a manager right around that time.
Nice.
You know, started talking, and I asked him, I said, what do you think about it? I was like, I can ride a mountain bike. I'm not, I'm only going to be a shell of myself on a mountain bike.
Compared to BMX, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I was like, let's reach out to some brands and see what happens, you know. And the second I opened the door after that Canyon announcement, when I got on Canyon, it was the craziest thing ever. I mean, they just lined up. I picked up like 8 sponsors in like 1 year.
Hell yeah!
It was nothing like I had ever experienced before.
Yeah, name them for me.
They just lined right up. So you got Adidas. 510, Canyon bikes, Canyon, Maxis, SRAM RockShox, Industry 9, Troy Lee Designs.
Damn.
Insta360 now.
No shit, the camera.
Yep.
Dope.
Insta360 action sports camera.
I have one, that shit's sick.
Oh no, the 360 one's so good.
Yeah.
We have that. Oh man, I hope I'm not forgetting anybody. I don't think I'm forgetting anybody. No, let me check my phone real quick. I can't forget anybody. Oh yeah, One Up USA, which is, they make the best bike racks.
Nice.
One Up USA and Crank Brothers. They make awesome pedals.
I know Crank Brothers pedals, dude. I used to have them. So like when I first started, when I was like 16, I got into mountain biking. Like I watched this video of Rome, like a DVD called Rome, and I learned about Cam McCall and all these guys, and I started geeking out on mountain bike companies like Crank Brothers and Deity, and you said Troy Lee Designs. I was like, so you listing those off, I was like, holy shit, you know, it's kind of surreal. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, all those brands are.
So after Canyon, they all come together. That's pretty rad. What's your, what's your favorite thing to ride on a mountain bike? On that first day with all them boys, like, were you just cruising down trails, like, on a mountain, not hitting jumps, or were you hitting jumps?
We just started off on jumps. Like, the first jump was, like, a 35-foot-long
table. Jesus Christ.
So, I hadn't been, I was like, oh, okay. Because one of the scariest things about mountain biking when people don't like as much is the speed.
Yeah, I could see that.
You're consistently, depending on where you go, but you are riding at high pace all the time. I mean, you can slow down, but if you're really hitting jumps, if you're hitting anything that's more than, I don't know, 30 feet, once you're going, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60, like you're flying.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, when things go wrong on a mountain bike, they go wrong very quickly.
Yeah.
You just, like, you fall and you fall and you
real hard.
Continue to fall.
Yeah.
It's not boom, boom. That's that. It also challenges your long-term memory, because you may go to a trail and there might be 50, 60 features on the line.
Oh, yeah. I can see that. Yeah.
So you may stop somewhere, but unless you hit the trail, you know, 5 or 6 times, like, there's a lot to remember.
Right.
So you may, okay, cool, this S turn here.
Yeah.
You know, there might be a drop here that you need to break for, or you may, there might be like a step up or something. And also, and you know, the wind. If you're riding somewhere open, like, wind on any bike is bad, especially BMX, but mountain bikes, because the wheel size.
Yeah.
It's like you're
blow you right off.
Yeah, you're a wind sail. You're a sail. You'll get toppled right over. I've had some pretty hard slams on a mountain bike just because of the wind.
Yeah.
You hit a drop, especially a drop, because you have no like real forward momentum.
Right.
You're just dropping.
Yeah.
And the wind just will just scoop you right up and dump you over.
Shimmy on over. That's wild. What's your favorite location you've been to ride mountain bikes? Have you like traveled specifically for riding mountain bikes, or is it all kind of multi-purpose? Like what like dictates? Or what, I don't know, what's the word? Dictates, inspires, / motivates your travel these days? Like, is it for mountain bikes first and then BMX, or what's it looking like?
It's both.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always have 2 bikes with me.
That's sick.
Always. It's pretty rare. It's rare if I don't have 2 bikes with me.
Yeah.
Mountain bike's there, BMX is there. Sometimes it's 3. There's also the trials bike.
Yep. That's dope. So let's talk about the trials bike. How did that come in to play? Cause it looks pretty fun, dude. It looks so different. Like
one, it's a street trials bike, so it's closer to a BMX bike than anything.
What's a regular trials bike then, if not a street trials bike?
You've seen the competition trials bikes?
Yeah, where I guess they're a little bit longer, right?
They're longer, like they're forward. Like
yeah,
they're,
yeah,
like
yeah.
Small
yeah.
wheels.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Or
right.
some of them have 26 inch wheels. Those are different. They're not. That doesn't seem too fun. That's not a bike that you ride around on. That one, it's like designed for show.
Yeah.
And the street trials one, you can really pedal around and you can have fun on it. The gear ratio is still small, mostly because you want to do these pedal skips.
Right.
Like you jump on one thing and you skip off the next one. But other than that.
Has it been hard to learn that shit?
That hasn't been super hard. Doing all the BMX things on a trials bike, that's not what's hard. The hard thing is doing like real trials riding.
Right, yeah.
You know, and it's a different style of trials riding, because the competition trials bikes, they're designed for just climbing and going straight up things. Just like back wheel hop and just jumping onto something like some crazy side hops. The street trials, you ride it more like a BMX.
Yeah.
And where I could probably ride that bike pretty close to how I can ride a BMX bike. I just don't have pegs on it.
Yeah.
You have brakes. Like you have the braking power of a supercar.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, disc brakes are crazy. You get the front brake, back brake, you just stop. So
can you do that shit where I'm sure you can. All the nose pivot type shit that I see like Danny Maxgill doing.
Some of it. Yeah. But those guys, Danny and Fabio.
They're on 26, huh?
No, they're on 24 like me.
24, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Everybody, you know, Danny Mack and Fabio Whitmer. He's on Keys on Canyon.
Yep.
I was watching those guys, and I met up with them, and then we were on a canyon trip out going from San Diego to Vegas, and Gabriel Whitmer was there. Gabriel is Fabio's cousin. So I hopped on Gabriel's bike and I rode it around. And I just did a manual 183 on it. And hold on, this bike feels like BMX bike.
No shit.
Then I started talking to Cam, because that bike is not available in North America. So I just hit up the global marketing manager there. And I asked him, like, can I get one of these?
Yeah,
I think we can make it happen.
Hell yeah.
So they sent one over, built it up, and I've just been riding it.
Fuck yeah. I've seen the clips that you've posted on Instagram. Is there anything else that you filmed on the trials bike yet?
Stuff nobody's seen?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I have a fun video that's coming out.
Sick.
So you'll see some trials riding there.
Top secret? What's the fun video?
A bit of mountain biking, a bit of trials. There's a Canyon Collective project.
Cool.
Yeah.
What is what's Canyon Collective?
Canyon Collective is, I don't know if you've seen it, Canyon, like Vowels. It's just like what mountain biking, what bike riding is to us, you know.
Canyon Collective. Let's see. Sorry. Canyon Collective. CanyonCollective.com. No, that's not it. That's a fucking app. There we go.
Yeah.
CLIC TV.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you say it was to us?
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Cool. So it's the whole squad.
Mm-hmm.
Downhill trail or enduro. Gathers committed mountain bikers like you with fans and pro athletes who share one obsession. That's cool. Dope.
Right. So just...
So what's involved in this project?
It's sort of, well, my video, I guess, would be more of a good times type of video.
Okay.
It's not super serious. I'm
yeah.
just going to ride and having fun on my bike. And it's my first time on a trials bike. So
yeah.
I'm just trying to find myself because I was on a trip and I was riding. We were out in Vegas and I don't know much. I had way too much bike with me. I had my Canyon Torque, which is designed for like huge jumps.
Yeah.
And it was just way too much. It's too big of a bike to have out in Vegas for
okay.
that stuff. So I had it for a few days and I ended up going home because I didn't film much. And I went back a second time with Rafe. So he and I rode around in Ryan Mills and
Justin. Rafe V, right?
Valdez, yeah.
Yeah, dope.
Yep. So and Ryan Mills and Justin. So yeah, we just cruised around for a few days, filmed some stuff, and you know.
Dope. Rafe's really nice at filming, dude.
Yeah, he's a good dude, man. He's down to make it happen.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of Christian Regal a bit.
Yeah.
Christian just down to make.
Just let's do
whatever happen.
Yeah.
Like
that's
if you need to move, I don't know, half of a mountain out of the way.
Yeah, he's like, let's do it.
Get the clip. Christian will. Christian will go get a, I don't know, an excavator.
Yeah.
You know, and
legitimately, huh?
And yeah. move it and try to make it happen. Yeah.
Yeah. He goes in, dude.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, Christian is. I'm not even gonna say arguably, because I mean I've worked with a lot of people, but Christian is down. I was like the most motivated filmer to make things happen.
Yeah.
Like he'll go above and beyond.
For real.
Yeah.
That's and you could tell like his passion. I talked to him and he's just. And whatever he does, he's like all in. Like he took out a loan and got the red camera and shit. And it's just like, dude, that's fucking awesome. Like he stepped up BMX filming, in my opinion, as far as like the Market DVD and then moving on and all the projects he did with all them boys since, you know, like Christian's dope. It makes me wonder, like, cause you've filmed with so many fuckers over the years, you know, like, like who was the original person that you filmed with? Like who filmed your Shook It's On part?
Chad Shackelford.
The one and only. Like, yep. That was when he was still actually filming the things, right? Because mm-hmm. eventually Shook became, like, he edited, submitted footage, right? Or, like, what, you know what I mean? I heard that, like, Shook videos towards the end, like, Chad Check didn't really film any of it. Is that true or not?
Oh, I don't remember, like, how things ended.
Yeah.
I just know, like, I just remember the first few years, but, like, towards the end, I'm not sure. Maybe people. You know what? I think I do remember hearing people submitting video parts and
yeah.
just kind of editing them.
Because my homie Drew Hostleton out here, he submitted a part back in the day, and that I forget what fucking edit. One of my first ever clips that got into a DVD was in a Shook video, like towards the credits. Like I submitted my clip, and it was a 540 cab down a three stair, and I was so excited that it was in a Shook video. You know, I was like,
oh, nice. Oh
my god, Brad Sims and Carl Pointer were in Shook too. What do you remember from the Shook It's On days? Let's talk about that for a second.
What I remember?
Yeah.
The video part or the...
I guess the experience behind the video part. Like, I heard you talking about it. Like, you couldn't see at night. Like, it was...
Well,
and a lot of the clips were at night, but...
yeah, I mean, that like, video part is... is it 17 or 18 years old?
Yeah. It's old enough to drive.
You know? My video part is old enough to drive, right?
Yeah.
So let's see what I remember. I mean, I remember everything. The whole video part.
How'd you meet Chad?
Carson Tanis. You know Carson Tanis?
Carson Tanis.
Skinny?
Yeah, I know Skinny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we all used to ride for Bulldog.
Yeah, you did.
Yep.
Yep.
So he was on a trip let's see, so Skinny, Marlon Europe, those guys.
God, I love them, dude.
Yeah, those guys. They
Marlon
were
on, was nice with the hang five.
Yeah, they were on a trip, and I asked him what trip he went on. He said, "Yeah, we're going on a Shook trip." And
you're like, "What's a Shook trip?"
I knew about it, but I obviously knew. He told me who was filming. I was like, "Chad." I was like, "Oh, Chad Shack's filming." I was like, "Oh, cool."
Hell yeah.
And I asked him, "You think you could, you know, drop a, you know, drop my name? See if he'd be down to work with me?" And he said he would. But then I didn't hear anything for a while. But then I think we went down to, where did we go? Went to Florida for like Roots Jam. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, damn. We went down to Roots, and with the Bulldog crew and everything. We filmed a video there. And then, because that was for Megator, yeah.
Wow.
We were on Megator and all that, and Bulldog video that came out. So people were starting to, you know, get kind of familiar with my work.
Yep.
And
Brad fucking Sims, dude. You like the 180 stuff? This is before that, but still.
Yeah. So then the rate, I think in the fall, that's when Chad hit me up. Yeah. Then after that, I went up to Cleveland. He hit me up. We worked on my part. I think I was there for about a week.
Dope.
Yeah.
You filmed that whole part in a week? Pretty much, yeah? No?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
Like, where is that spot that's like this, in that part, it's like this? You know what I mean? Fucking Carl 180s it. You do something on it, I think. I could be tripping. But I'm just getting like little flashes of your part. That big ass air whip where it's, I be up at the, where it goes back and forth.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking about, it's like transition, and there's a gap between the two, and then transition down. Whatever. I'm like picturing your part, and I can't, you might not even have even ridden that shit, but.
The only pyramid thing I can think of is a spot in Chattanooga, in Tennessee.
Yeah.
There's a rainbow rail. I did a backwards grind on it.
Yes, that's what I am visualizing, but that's not the same spot as like what Carl rode or whatever. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe Carl ride, and I don't think, well, maybe I didn't ride it. Maybe just Carl.
You didn't ride it. Yeah, Carl rode it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly the clip that I was thinking about, though, is the backwards on the little hump, the hump rainbow rail. Like, okay. That you went over. Yeah, that's the clip I was thinking of. Anyway, dude, it's kind of such a trip thinking your whole career. What do you even ask yourself? What do you even ask Brad Sims, dude? Shit, dude. Bulldog bikes. I think you're the first person on the show that I've ever been like actually nervous for. I'm like, holy shit.
What are you nervous about?
Brad Sims is in my fucking living room, man. You know? You're a fucking legend, dude. That's what I guess I'm just getting in my head about what should I ask, you know? I keep going, I'm flashing back and forth from like the past 19-year-old Brad to now Brad, and then everything in between, and all the travel and your whole entire life and BMX career. It's like, it's pretty damn special. And the fact that you're like making an adult living right now, like doing what you're doing, is very special and like rare, you know? Like, you probably have some insights to like give advice to kids on what to do, I guess. Like, first, I think, comes the work. You have to do the work, and you did the work with like no reward for however long, and then it finally all pays off, like that delayed gratification. How important do you think delayed gratification is in life?
It's important simply because learning how to create a plan,
yep,
and following through,
having a vision,
yeah, and I think that's one of the most difficult things, especially if you grew up around people who are planners,
right?
You know, who don't have a vision. You know, it makes it difficult, and you just kind of live in this world of immediate gratification.
Yeah, for real, it's so easy to get stuck in that too. Like, just, all right, what are we doing this weekend? You know, that's, people are living for the next weekend, and that's basically it. You know. So how far in it, for your specific plan, like, or your vision? How far ahead are you thinking?
Now?
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking 5 and 10 years out.
Nice.
Which is, it's still difficult for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm coming into this stage of my life, like, in my late 30s.
Right.
This wasn't something that happened. I mean, I gained a lot of success in BMX early on. You know, I started, you know, I always had some sort of sponsor from 12 onward, you know, like bike shops were hooking me up.
At 12?
Yeah.
No shit.
Because I used to race. I raced for 3 years.
Nice.
So I was on a bike shop. So I used to go to a bike shop and just change tubes and clean up a shop, and they'd give me, you know, grips and
sick
other things. So I just ride my bike across town.
Yeah.
And go do that.
Your mom get you into racing?
No, my uncle did.
Nice. Mm. Shout out your uncle. Fucking A.
Yeah. He got me into it when I was 11. Just was kind of supernatural at riding, and just went from there. He didn't stick with it very long, but he got me into it, and I just decided to, you know, just stick with it. And
yeah. Who was supernatural? He was, or you were?
My uncle. I mean, I think I was, you know, pretty natural at it too.
Yeah.
It was just, we were all very athletic.
Yeah.
You know, we played all the team sports, so hopping on a bike was.
You got all the kinetic intelligence.
Yeah.
Have you heard that term before? Kinetic intelligence? Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I first heard it, I was like, dude, that's a cool term.
Yeah.
It means your brain knows how to tell your body what to do. So you've had success, and now thinking about 5 years ahead.
Yeah, 5, 10. What, like I said, it's difficult to do because now I'm trying to do so much at one time, and it's a little difficult to just pace. You know, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Right, yeah.
And sometimes I catch myself still wanting to sprint.
Yeah. So I had, like, what's an example of still wanting to sprint?
Going crazy on Instagram, you know?
Doing too much on Instagram. Do you think you can do too much on Instagram? You know what I mean?
Can you do too much on Instagram? I guess it's subjective, you know?
Right.
You know, my past achievements don't necessarily dictate future success for anybody who's trying to follow the same blueprint.
Right.
So for some people, there might be too much. For others, not so much. Let's say you take a person who has filmed, let's say, like a Dakota Roach.
Yeah.
You take Dakota's film, I don't know, probably 17, 18 video parts.
Yep.
If Dakota decided to say, all right, cool, I'm just going to do Instagram, what can you say?
Yeah, for real.
Like, hey, I have hours of footage clocked.
Yeah, go check out one of my parts if you want.
I want to do Instagram from now until I retire, you know, go kick rocks.
Yeah, for real.
I mean, he could do that. Dennis could do it. You know, Garrett could do it. You know, damn. I mean, Felix has filmed so many video parts now. He could probably do it.
Just in like 3 years, dude, he's filmed 17 video parts.
Right. So, you know, but it boils down to what do you want? You know, everybody doesn't achieve the same way.
Yeah. You know, true.
Maybe an achievement for one rider might be just to get a couple free frames and maybe to film a video part under a brand.
Right.
And
get validated, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah, some validation in that, and that's it. Then there might be another rider who wants to, you know, live full time off their passion, their career, and make it work for them.
Yep.
You know? So it boils down to what you want, what kind of plan you put forth.
It's wild to think of the longevity of your career. Like, and there has to have been some downs, some real bummer parts. Or would you agree? Like,
for sure. Yeah.
And when you're in like a down part, what do you do to get yourself out of it? Are you self-aware and being like, all right, I'm just depressed right now and it'll pass? Or how do you deal with the lows that inevitably come on chasing a dream?
Adventure. Keep moving around. You gotta keep moving. Like, if you're just, I don't know, if you're just stuck trying to chase happiness, like, I mean, that It's a feeling. They change all the time.
You know, so
creating plans. You know, just because, like, you can create a plan, it doesn't mean that it's going to. It doesn't mean it's going to come to fruition, but it increases the probability of it happening.
Yes.
So long, you know, you give yourself something to do.
Yep.
And you can, you know, figure out, like, slowly chip away at things. It will, you know, give yourself some responsibilities.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. I can't. Not having responsibilities kind of miserable.
Yeah, for real.
To be honest, you don't have anything to do. So
having been there, not having responsibility, I can agree. Yes.
Yeah, and having too much to do kind of create the same thing. So finding a healthy balance, yep. Even though it's not really. Sometimes you don't even really find a healthy balance. You just
kind
of, either you rise to the occasion.
Yes.
Which that kind of makes it fun. You know, it gives you some new challenges.
Yep.
So having challenges. Yeah.
I think talking on, like, having that plan, it doesn't necessarily have to, like, go exactly according to plan, but it still gives you a direction to take steps in. And it, like, all your brain wants is just to take that step, and then the next step, and then the next step, and it gives you that dopamine hit, you know, like.
Yeah, and you typically want it to happen immediately. You know, you don't think about it like, I want this to happen now. But I'm glad it didn't happen the way I wanted it to, because I was not mature enough. Had I gained this much success 15 years ago, I don't think I would even be still riding bikes.
Yeah, it'd be so easy to just, like, fuck off. What would younger you do?
No, I was just too immature. I was way too financially irresponsible. I was just also just way too hedonistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's real.
For sure. I would blow every dollar I had. I would just blow on traveling, which was great, because I had cool sponsors at the time who gave me a big travel budget.
Yep.
So I would use all that money, and I would just any little contest I could find, you know, that was another country or here or somewhere, I would just go, because during that time I wasn't earning much money.
Yeah.
So
talking about that. You get the per diem and
I was doing that. I was just living off per diem. It's just, you know, a few hundred dollars, but still it was enough to keep me on the road, keep me meeting up with other filmers,
yep,
getting interviews, doing everything. So it was
being in Russia where they can only speak BMX English, which is fucking hilarious. Like, you told that.
Yeah, that was the time we Oh no, that was in Kyrgyzstan. Yeah, this guy Kirill.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
they just talking to you. They're saying Barspin, Barspin, yeah. Brad, Barspin.
A lot of BMX English. Hey, hello, in BMX English. Like 360, 720. Man,
you're like, dude. Sometimes can we talk about
like a real issue? I'm like, how can I figure this out?
Did you end up learning the language?
Yeah, I learned quite a bit of Russian.
Nice.
Russian, Polish, Spanish.
Sick. Do you speak any fluently at this point?
Fluent enough.
Fluent enough to get by, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
More than get by. I can sit next to somebody, we can talk all day long.
Nice.
It also depends on the conversation. You know, if you want to go heavy, I don't know, politics, then.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, philosophical.
Right.
I'm going to be outclassed. Yeah. Yeah. But that's even a challenge in your mother tongue, depending on the topic.
For real.
You
know? Yeah.
So if you can sit down with a nuclear physicist, and he can be speaking English to you.
It's like, what the hell are you saying? Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
I've listened to some smart fuckers on the internet, and it's just like, you know, it's kind of fun to, like, overload yourself with trying to listen to, like, Andrew Huberman. We'll talk about, he does a really good job of, like, breaking down really complicated biology and, you know, science and making it digestible, but even still, he's just like dropping all these science terms, and it's just like, dude, like, I think it's pretty wild. It's out there. I kind of want to get back to fitness and what your, like, lifestyle is nowadays, like, as a professional athlete. What are you, you know, putting in your body every day, and what are you doing to stay active besides just riding, if anything, like stretching, you know, drinking water? What do you pay attention to what you eat? How do you maintain the athlete lifestyle? That's a fun question.
So I eat about 7 boxes of Twinkies a week.
Do you really? Fuck off.
Oh, I haven't eaten a Twinkie in years. Yeah.
No, I do eat what I want. Eat whatever I want. I am mindful of what I put in my body. So
what do you want to eat? Like, what have you eaten in Arizona? It's okay if it's not healthy.
I'm mostly eating seafood, really.
Nice.
I haven't had any steaks this week, unfortunately.
I love steaks.
But maybe I might go get a steak tonight.
We'll see. You deserve a steak.
Yeah, a lot of salmon, you know, fish. I eat everything. As far as like working out, stretching, I go through waves. Sometimes, like, I'll be on it, super consistent.
Yeah.
Then I'll just kind of slack off and not do much. Like, I've been able to maintain my physique for such a long time. Like,
yeah.
I've been like this since I was 17.
Yeah. It's fucking nuts.
So it's, in a way, it's kind of intuitive for me.
Dope.
It's just, and it's genetics too.
Yeah.
I can not work out for, I don't know, a year, just do my riding.
And still keep it.
That's the thing about BMX, where, like, if you're not really filming, especially if I'm not really filming and trying something hard, I don't get much workout at all.
Right, yeah.
If, when I'm filming, that's when...
Real workout.
Yeah. And difference from that and riding mountain bikes, you ride mountain bikes, you're getting a workout all the time.
For real.
If it's somewhere, if you're really riding somewhere fast and where you need to really be on point,
yep,
and make sure that make sure you're aware.
Yeah,
you're getting a workout, because some of the lines are so long, you know. And there's a place in Austria called Schladming, and you can start the line from the top all the way down to the bottom. It'll take you 15 minutes.
Damn.
Down.
That's a long ass line.
Riding, yeah.
Yeah, for real.
You get down to the bottom, and your arms will be so tired, and you have so much forearm pump.
Yeah.
You'll be hitting the front brake, the back brake, getting jerked around on your bike. So, yeah, you get some serious workouts in. But yeah, I like, you know, I'll do weights. You know, I remember back in the day, people would they have a lot to say about, you know, weight training and everything. But now it's good to see more riders being more, you know, conscious about it.
I agree.
Because it's good to have some muscle.
For real.
You fall down, you know, you can bounce back. You see all the time. I see some guys that are just small, just fragile, and they cannot take any slams at all.
Yep.
But then you see these that are, you know, that have some mass to them, they get right back up. They just bounce.
Yeah.
Bounce back. And still, I don't know. I mean, depending on how you want to look.
For real. I'm trying to look good naked, dude.
Yeah, it's nice going to go to the beach, pull your shirt off.
Yeah.
And not have to, you know, feel insecure about having some good. But you lost 100 pounds, well, 80 pounds.
Yeah. I'm so hyped on life right now. I'm taking my shirt off wherever I fucking can, you know? Like, every day I'm going outside and just walking around with my shirt off. It's great, man. You know? Feels good.
That's cool.
I still got a ways to go, like, body fat percentage-wise, but... My mom, my girlfriend, everybody's like, "You're too skinny." I'm like, "No, I'm still working on it. I'm not getting skinny. I'm getting muscular and low body fat. Like, you'll get it. You know,
right.
I'm trying to get that one picture where I got the body of Brad Sims. You know, what would you think your body fat percentage is?
Mine?
Yeah. 5%, 6%.
No, not that.
Fucking that's genetics. 10%.
That's like a physique model or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably hanging around 10.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah.
I need to figure out what mine is so I have a before. Dude, well, looking at my before and after pictures is nuts. Let me show you my fat pic.
I'm trying to... I don't know if I ran into you when you were...
I don't think so. I was pretty, like, in my own...
Damn near 100 pounds heavier.
Yeah, in my own little world. Look at that guy.
Oh, my God.
That guy.
You went from that to this now.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a transformation.
Fucking, I did it to myself, but it feels good. You know, I was falling behind for a dramatic victory.
Self-induced, huh?
Yep. I was drinking a lot.
Yeah, most things are.
Yep. I took the Sabrosa party lifestyle and then just kept it going alone in my room. Like, I would just I would drink a bottle of wine as a warm-up and then, like, a couple of beers and then liquor, and then all of a sudden I'm pretty drunk and I ordered two meals and just, like, pure gluttony, dude. Like, I was in a deep, deep depressive hole. It was messy.
And before you know it,
my boss just called. And then before I know it, I was looking like that, and I was like, shit, I gotta do something.
Kablooey.
Pause.
Running the Victim Olympics.
The Victim Olympics, dude. That is our culture right now. Yeah. I'm offended. No, you're oppressing me. Do you feel oppressed, Brad?
No.
Why not? Why not? You're supposed to be oppressed. You're black in America.
Oh, man. That's funny. I live here in America, live in the U.S. I ride bikes for a living. I'm in the greatest position I've ever been in before in my life. There's nobody in my way holding me back. And even if I thought that they were holding me back, more than likely I was in my own way. So.
Preach. Fucking A. I forget how it came up earlier before the podcast. We were talking about America. And like, I brought up the CIA and how gnarly it is. And like, we're pretty fucked up, the CIA, with the rest of like dominating the world and interfering with all kinds of shit. And you were like, America's still the best country in the world. And I was like, I agree, you know, like, and it's so sick to hear coming from you because you've been around the world and seen everything firsthand. What's the second best country in the world?
The second best?
Yeah.
You know what? That is a difficult one to say. I'm not sure if I can answer that question. Maybe.
I'm not sure if I could either, too.
Let's see. If I didn't live in the U.S.
Yeah, where would you want to go?
Where would I go? Man, I don't know. Maybe Canada or Australia, maybe somewhere in Southeast Asia, you know.
No shit.
I would try to. I'd have a business.
In Southeast Asia.
I would have a business. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe no. Some of those places are just too small. You know, I would get like island fever.
Yeah, you go know, crazy.
Way too.
You would know every nook and cranny of the city after riding around a couple.
Yeah,
months.
I've been to, you know, places like for example, like Singapore.
Yeah.
You know, beautiful place, cool, interesting, but it's so small, you know.
Like how long were you there?
I stayed there one time for, let me see, I was there for 2 weeks, then went back a second time for about a week.
Nice.
Yeah.
For riding? Was there a contest there?
First time it was a riding trip, it was, I think I was 21. Yeah, I was on Hoffman at that time.
Sick.
And there was a metro jam out there.
No shit. Cool. Yeah,
a metro jam.
Of all the places for a metro jam.
You know, that was my first time out of the country, too.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's what broke your seal. It popped your travel cherry, first time out of the country?
Yep.
That's dope.
That was it. I couldn't even. Yeah, that pretty much sealed the deal for me for a good decade or more.
Yeah.
Just hit going there one time. I was like, okay, cool. This is, I want to do this.
Because
I didn't have a passport at the time. I didn't know where Singapore was. I didn't know anything about Southeast Asia.
I don't think I know much about Southeast Asia, to be honest.
I heard of some of those, you know, some of the countries, but I wasn't aware. Because I remember Mark Owen sent me an email. He said, hey, Brad, do you want to go to Singapore for Metro Jam? I'm like, where's Singapore? And what is that? He goes, oh, it's a country out in Southeast Asia. So I got on. Had a T-Mobile Sidekick at the time.
I remember seeing clips of you with a Sidekick.
Got on my Sidekick. I'm like, all right, let me check out Singapore. Where is that? I'm like, way over there. And I went on. Yeah, I went on a trip. Pretty sure I was on. We were on a MyCreation trip.
Sick. I remember MyCreation. Yeah.
We were on a MyCreation trip up in Canada, and I went down to. Yeah, I went up there, and right before that, I had. Filled out all the documents for a passport. And I called my grandma, I got back, and I asked her, I said, hey, grandma, any mail there for me? She said, no, not yet. And I think it had been there for a few days by the time I actually returned to the house. And I got there, she said, oh, yeah,
this package here is for you. I'm like, what is that? She goes, I don't know. It's been here for a few days. Nobody didn't tell me. I opened up. It was my passport. The first passport. I'm like, oh, damn. Passport. So.
Hell yeah.
I went to. Yeah. Went there. Had the time of my life.
Yeah. Sick. And it started it all.
Yeah, started all. Had a great experience. Flew back and didn't know anything. Didn't know about jet lag.
Yeah. You're like, why do I feel like shit?
At least not that type of jet lag. I'm in the middle of the day just sleeping for, you know, 8 hours.
Yeah.
I was just doing it. I did it for about 4 days.
Because it is like literally the opposite side of the world, right? Yeah. It's got,
I did it for like 4 days back to back. And it was, my mom's like, why are you sleeping for 7-8 hours?
Yeah.
In the middle of the day.
At noon.
I'm jet lagged. What are you doing? Like, what?
What is that?
Yeah. So, that happened and I got back and I got invited on another trip, you know, and this was back when South African Airways would send you tickets in the mail. Yeah, so we booked my flight to South Africa. I went down there with Chase Hawk, Mike Aiken, Chaz Shack,
damn,
Walter Perringer, and
squad. Holy shit.
Yeah, that was a good time. So we're down there with those guys, meeting all the South African locals, and we were down there for about 2 weeks. But it was just like back to back trips.
Sick.
Same thing. I got there and just was like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah. What was it about it? Because like, it can either be like super exhausting and you don't want to travel. Like a lot of people don't want to travel, which is interesting. But you got the bug. What made you get the bug?
It's exhausting. I don't actually enjoy the process of traveling all that much. I like exploring
new places,
destination.
Yes,
which is fine. So I totally understand. And I get why people don't want to travel, like the actual travel process. And most people don't travel enough, or they're not in a position where they can travel enough, where they can really like reap the benefits of being on an airline, where you have like the priority check-in, or you get TSA pre. You know, go through.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I just signed up for TSA pre.
Just now, just recently.
About 2 months ago. And
I was going to say, dude,
that's been out for years. I'm like, why have I? I'm like, how slow am I? How slow could I possibly be? And it's $70 for 5 years. And
wow.
Yeah. My credit card, they reimburse you for it.
Nice.
So I'm like, how could I be so just stupid?
Yeah, you've been fucking up.
I've been standing in the longest security lines for years.
Just looking at the empty TSA pre-check line, like, yep. Damn.
Looking at TSA pre, I got TSA pre, clear,
yep.
All that stuff, all the priority check-ins, you can think of all the lounge access. So now, yeah, traveling is a better experience.
Have you ever been on one of those, like, the influencer ones that I've seen, like the super crazy planes that go to Dubai that are, like, they have beds in them and shit, like a full bar and shit?
Oh, you mean flying business or first class?
I guess. Yeah, I don't know. Unlike those big Airbus type things where it's like an experience almost, you know? Like,
I've flown business class. It happens.
Sick.
Often.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're talking about like on Emirates. Emirates,
yes, Singapore, that's Airways, the one I'm talking about.
Some of those. I haven't been in one of those rooms on there. But there's only like two airlines now that offer first class. It's all business now.
Yeah.
It's business class or economy premium. So you're up there, but to get that flight, get on those, you gotta pay top dollar.
Yeah.
Or you need to have so many miles, and you get
the points and shit, the miles. Yeah,
you get bumped up. So that happens.
At what point of traveling did you sign up for a card and start getting points? Because I've been traveling a bunch for my job for the past year, and I haven't done any points. I've been fucking up.
You've been flying the same airline?
Yeah, like a lot of American. What? Yeah, I'm blowing it.
And your job pays for this?
Yeah. I'm fucking up.
You're screwing up big time. Make that should be your homework for tonight.
I agree.
Make a flyer.
Frequent flyer.
Frequent flyer.
Account.
Account. Yeah. Do that.
I will.
That should be your homework for tonight.
Yep.
One of them at least. Because that's the thing. Most people don't travel enough to where it makes sense for them, or it's the same with like using one of those credit cards. Like, you don't meet a certain threshold, it's not really worth it. But if you're traveling, how often are you flying?
Dude, I'm going to LA. A whole bunch. Like three weeks ago, I went to 13 cities in 8 days. Like
all flying?
Yeah. It was
on the same airline.
It was so many. a lot of it was the same airline. It was like three quarters American Airlines, the rest Southwest. But yeah, it was so much just checking in, checking out, carrying the camera back. It was miserable. By the end of it, I got bronchitis. Like, it was fucked up. But
damn, it was a lot of trouble. Book your own tickets?
Yeah.
For the airline?
Yeah.
So you could just book the same airline every time. Mm-hmm. You would probably get bumped up to like a 1K.
Yeah.
Where you get all the perks, like you know, pre-boarding.
All the shit, yeah.
Yeah, you go to the lounge whenever you want. You don't have to go sit anywhere. Like, you get the free food, all that stuff.
Do you go to the lounge?
Yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, I go to the lounge because, you know what?
What's the lounge like? Tell us. What's it like?
Some of them are okay, but most of them, like, you got, okay, like American Express one, like the Centurion. That one's really good. You go in there. United one, if you're flying business, you can go in there and you sit there. Or United Club. Those are the ones I usually stick with. Or any of the alliance partners.
Yeah.
That are with American Express. We go in there. So what it does is it saves you money. Let's say if traveling as much as you're doing right now, how much money do you think you spend in the airport buying food?
Yeah, dude, for real. Like $30 a trip, $30 on food and water.
Each time. You did that in 1 month? In like 13 states flying?
Yeah.
All right, so you probably spent, what would you say, 500 or more?
Yeah,
in the airport?
Probably, yeah. The lounges give you free food and drink?
Yep.
Nice.
So if you have a card, let's say you may have a, I don't know, let's say you have an Amex or Chase Sapphire or something. You have an annual fee. So let's say your annual fee is, I don't know, 200, 250, maybe it's 300. But with that, with those cards, they'll reimburse you for TSA pre, for clear, and you have lounge access. So you can use the lounge. So you save money. Because I know anytime I go to the airport, as much as I fly,
yeah,
I'm going to spend money in the airport. I'm going to get food. If you're in the airport, if you got a 4 or 5 hour layover,
right?
Like, that's where they make all their money off you anyway.
For real, yeah.
So that's what they do. They want to get you to the airport. That's how they get the money. So you get there, and all right, cool, I'm hungry. Or you might not want fast food. You don't want to spend $10. You might want something decent.
Yeah.
So you go spend, you know, $30, $40.
Right.
And you do
so
that.
Easily. Yeah.
You do that 10 times a month in the airport.
Then all of a sudden it's like a car payment.
Yeah. Between that, there you go. That's a car payment. If you have a car payment, one of those, it might be, yeah, between taxis, Ubers, and Lyft rides to the airport, all that stuff. Some of those brands, I mean, some of those car companies, they reimburse you for ride share.
No shit. That's dope.
Yeah.
I'm sold on looking into that. Sapphire. That sounds like the one. Sapphire. You know, like...
I like Amex.
Okay. Why? Why should I get Amex over Sapphire?
I don't know if you should.
Yeah.
If it fits into your budget, sure. If not, then check out a different one.
The reimbursement sounds dope. And then $200, I can eat as much free food in the lounge. I can eat $200 worth of free food in the lounge in three trips, you know?
Yeah. You don't want to eat yourself back to 300 pounds, do you?
But I could if I wanted to, you know?
You can do whatever you want.
You never just pig out, Brad?
Yeah, I do.
Cheat days like The Rock?
I do all the time.
It's in moderation, you know? Dude, when I was losing the weight, I was fasting for a full day, one day a week, and then fasting till noon and stopping eating at 6 every other day of the week. Like, when you fast for a full day, like, it gets kind of psychedelic. Like, things start getting weird towards the end of it. I'm so glad I did that shit, dude. You ever thank your past self for doing shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, sitting where you're at right now.
All the time. I give my, yeah, you have to, yeah, celebrate your achievements.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to do that. I remember I sat down with Jason Richardson. Jason, BMX rider, mountain biker as well.
Okay.
Psychologist. And we were talking one day, and I was having a bit of a moment, you know, and I sat down for a second. I'm talking to myself. I'm thinking, and I was like, you know, let me hit up Jason. So I spoke with Jason, and I started talking to him, and I was like, hey, and he goes, am I just said straight up to him, I was like, am I kind of being a, you know, am I whining right now? Am I being a brat? You know, with this whole thing was going on? Because I was kind of tired. I was riding nonstop, still just filming, doing everything. But yeah. I wasn't celebrating anything. I was just working.
Not good enough. No,
supposed to spend any money. I hadn't really celebrated, hadn't done much. I'd, you know, gone out to some dinners. I went down to Mexico and I was down there with my friend John Saunders, Ryan Mills, and Brandon. Matt Hildebeest came down there, and I think that's about it. Yeah. So we were down there riding and stuff. It was another road trip, but it was a type of trip that I had never been on with some of my friends, because not everybody there actually rode bikes.
Yeah.
You know, so that was a different experience.
That's dope.
I was just saving all my money, just stacking everything. I hadn't bought anything. And I was on the phone, on a call with Jason, and he said, Brad, he goes, man, you don't need to go out and just go and buy yourself, you know, a Ferrari or anything, you know, but you do need to celebrate your achievements, you know, because you gotta look at it and celebrate. What else, why are you doing it for? Right?
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be entirely like outcome driven, but you do give yourself a pat on the back from time to time. You know,
yeah.
Like, okay, cool, do this. You know, have some fun. Because I was working so hard, I wasn't having fun.
Yep.
And when he told me that, he goes, yes, he goes, you need to close that chapter from 2020. You know, just from just grinding so hard. Like, I was just, I won those awards, you know, Nora Cup.
Yep.
The Vital Award. And all those, and I was still the same mindset, just go, you know, just go.
Yeah.
And he said, close that chapter. And
hell yeah.
It's time to, you know, rebuild and create a new plan. Because he goes, now, because you've conquered that. You achieved what you needed to.
Yeah, you hit the goal, dude.
Right.
Yeah.
And now I'm doing good now.
Hell yeah.
But it took a minute for me to adjust.
Yeah, I believe it.
And it was a huge financial adjustment, because I had never been like actually financially comfortable, where I didn't have to think about money in that way. And people say, you know, more money, more problems. And no, it's more money, different problems.
Yes.
You know,
100%.
I'm not living paycheck to paycheck or having to really think about money like that. But now how do I make this work for me? And
how do you parlay it, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Help other people get into position.
Hell yeah.
Help themselves.
I love that you're thinking that way. That's dope.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, money's not the end all be all, but it certainly is a tool.
It sure is. Yeah.
And, you know, I get around people in general, or riders or other riders, and some have done really well for themselves, or some who just are, at least they make it seem as if they're like anti-money.
Yeah.
And they...
That's a good way to put it. I saw you just think about that.
At least they make it seem strange. Like they're anti-money. They take this, you know, it's like this like low level of mediocrity, and they just like pass it off as some form of happiness or like altruism.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess, man. Like, how many people can you help when you're broke?
Yes,
probably not too many people. When you do have money, you can actually help people. At the same time, if you ask somebody right now, hey, maybe you need anything, you know, let me know. 9 out of 10, they're probably going to ask you, oh, I need something. What do you need?
Well, I need some money. Yeah.
You know? So instead of kind of knocking people who have it or, you know, who's trying to make something, like, go make something and go add to the world what you want to see.
Yes, you know? For real.
Because, I don't know, I've never really been able to help make a change in the person's life. I mean, I have, you know, you can be there as a friend and do all
these. You can do a lot without money, but still, you can do more with.
But when you have the finances to be able to help somebody to really reposition themselves, to help their family, and, you know, just take care of their life, it you know, keeps the landlord off your back. Who likes debt? Like, you're sitting there, like, you got a landlord, like, the rent's due. Yeah. Your car's broke down. You can't fix that. You can't focus on what you truly want to be doing. Maybe it's riding. It might be riding. You know, you really want to ride full time, but you're not making ends meet. So instead of riding full time, you're working two other jobs. You're working construction. You're working, which is, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not what you want to do full time. So one thing is taken from the next thing. If that's your purpose.
For real. It is. It kind of does get in the way. And it's really easy to fall off when you just, like, there's so many dudes that could be amazing, but are stuck working to make ends meet, you know, to make a minimum wage or whatever. And it's tough. It's a bummer. But it, like you were saying, it feels so good to help people. Like, I don't think I'm in the position you're in, but I'm in a good enough position where I've been able to help some friends in need at certain times. And it's the most rewarding thing I've ever done, is just like giving is the best shit. You know, it's amazing.
It feels doing it. Great.
Yeah. It's fucking incredible.
Like I said, it feels amazing to have all this come to me, but it also, like the day I made the announcement, do you remember the photo of Colin DeMarcus and me standing on the hill, mm-hmm. and with the bottles of champagne?
Yeah.
That day felt just as good as the day I made the announcement for Adidas when I signed that contract.
Yeah, easily.
Because, you know, it helped change their lives too.
Yes.
You know, Colin was, when Colin called me, and after he got the call, he hit me up and he told me about it because he was ready to, you know, teach full time.
Yeah, he was, huh?
Yeah, he was a substitute teacher, and he got offered a job to teach full time, and he got the call and changed. I mean, DeMarcus was already riding full time, but this was icing on the cake for him.
Yes.
You know, so it felt
so good.
Yeah. It was definitely an indelible moment.
Yeah. Good choices too. Like, those two are fucking incredible. I love watching them ride. Like, Colin, it would be like a shame if he, not a shame, like, teaching is amazing and noble, but like, he's one of the riders that it's like, you should be riding, you know, a lot.
Yeah, I'm happy he was able to, you know, come through.
Yeah.
Same with, you know, DeMarcus. One thing is what's funny about DeMarcus, he's so good, but he downplays a lot of if you watch him on Instagram, like, he just kind of keeps, Instagram is kind of just like, it's very much Instagram for him.
Yeah.
Like, he'll throw a banger out there here and there. He'll do something. But
he's stacking.
Oh, he's got so much stuff in the bag.
Yeah.
You'll see him and he'll do something because he's so smooth.
Yeah.
He'll do a trick and you're like, well, he could have spun the bars out of there, or he could have, you know, spun out of this, and he would just say, boop, boop. You know, he'll finesse it around.
Yeah.
And he'll do that. And when I ride with him, I'm like, come on, I was like, just, you know, spin the bars out of it. Or shoot out. He goes, nah, I'm good. Or he'll do it, but when the camera comes out, like, he'll get down.
He's kind of like, he chooses his moments, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. You can tell, like, he's smart, you know? He's just older, like us, or I'd say us. I'm 33, you're 36? 37. Like,
he's same as you.
Yeah, so he knows what's up. Like, he knows when to push it and when not to, which is kind of like, you have to choose. I think you do a really good job of that. Just like, nah, I'm chilling. And then when it's time, it's time. Like, how are you picking the clips that you are filming lately? I remember being with you somewhere and you were asking, where's a good spot for maybe it was here. Superman, where's a good spot for a flyout Superman seat grab, I think you were asking for. And then I see it later on in Austin, which is like, oh, shit, there it is.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah.
Well, at that time, I didn't really care. I put anything on there.
Yeah.
And I'm still like that now.
Just whatever happens.
I've put some of my all-time best clips on Instagram.
Hell yeah.
Like, just that I just film with a phone.
Yeah.
Easily.
I love that. I
I don't regret it. Because
you shouldn't.
Those clips, some people say, I've heard people say, oh, they didn't count on Instagram, like, it was filmed.
Yeah, fool.
Whether it was filmed on your, whether it's filmed on a Red or on my iPhone.
Yeah.
Vertical or horizontally, it was still filmed.
Yep.
You saw it. People saw it. So.
And you did it. Right. And there's proof. And we're in that age, dude. Like, it's an interesting conversation to have. That's a dead horse at this point, but like, your model, let's talk about this, because you said that following your model now might not necessarily work for everybody. What do you see as like the future? What do you see coming? as far as marketing yourself as a professional athlete?
That would really depend on what this person wants to do.
You.
You know? Are you saying me?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Oh.
What does the future look like for you?
For me, it's still, it's social media, it's video parts. It's going to, I'll have something coming.
Okay.
I'll have something coming. You won't, nobody won't know though.
I like that.
But I'm gonna drop.
He's cooking.
I'm gonna drop. Yeah, I'm gonna drop. I haven't. Other than like just throwing stuff on Instagram, like I haven't put anything together. No, when I did a welcome to, when I filmed a video with Justin Benthian.
Yeah, for Fit. Yeah, I just watched that the other day. Yeah.
Well, that's gone. That's not on.
Psych, I didn't watch it. I looked for it. It's gone. It's, yeah, gone. They took it down.
Yeah.
Petty.
But I don't care. We filmed stuff in Colorado as well. Stuff we'll never see the light of day.
It's a bummer.
I can go back and do everything again, but there was some stuff that was kind of heavy. But still, maybe what I'll do is I'll go and redo it and add it to a part that I'll probably eventually make.
Hell yeah.
So, it's social media. It's going to be videos. It's also going to be partnering with endemic and non-endemic brands. You know? At this point, anybody who wants to watch me ride a bike has seen me ride a bike.
Right.
You know?
What does endemic mean?
Endemic?
Yeah.
Like brands that are within the industry.
Okay.
Like,
and then non-endemic. So outside the industry brands. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Dope.
So those brands. That's what it's going to be. Yeah, it's just going to be just me being more strategic about my personal brand and just building. Coming up bigger plans with my manager.
Sick.
He's a good dude.
What is it like having a manager? I wanted to talk about your manager. Like, how did you get a manager? What things has the manager elevated you to? What plans do you guys have, if any, that you can share? Are you going to do, I mean, you've obviously, like, part of the game is doing some modeling stuff, but, like, have you gotten some paid modeling gigs ever? Will you?
Well, I guess if you, not necessarily a modeling gig. My face isn't symmetrical. And
you're good looking, dude. And you're fit. You can rock some clothes and shit. Appreciate
it. Thanks. I'm getting my teeth fixed right now. I have Invisalign.
Nice.
So people always want to know that question. Like, why don't you smile so much? Like, I'm getting my teeth fixed. They're just crowded up top, but they're almost there.
Okay.
Let me see. I'm mostly working with a manager. It's been good. Like, he actually cares about my career.
Dope.
So it's like personable. It's not. I mean, all relationships are transactional, you know. But it's not purely transactional. Like, we can sit, talk, joke around. Like, I'll go out to Colorado. We'll hang out. You know.
When we're sick.
You know, we're talking.
He's a good one.
Yeah, he's a genuine guy.
Yeah. You know? What's been the highlight with working with him so far?
Watching his business grow as well. You know, us working together, like we've been growing together.
Sick.
He didn't work with, he's not a part of an agency. He has his own company.
Cool.
So with that being said, I've watched him grow. So how it transpired was just during 2020. 2020, same thing. That's when everybody was reaching out. I'm talking CPAs, agents, talent scouts, everything. Because I did a Taco Bell commercial.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, people were just coming at me left and right. Because all the just because of the Instagram craze.
When it rains, it pours. Yeah,
they sure did. And
man, it's like you were fucking like digging for 6 months and then you hit this well and then poof, everything popped up.
Struck gold.
Yeah, right? That's fire, dude.
Yeah. So yeah, that happened. He reached out to me and he told me, he said, hey, I'm not like a, you know, typical agent. You know, I can do all these things. Told me about his background, and that's when I realized, like, okay, cool. Like, I can handle some of this alone. I could do it by myself. But then when he started to show me how he structured deals And then we talked for a while. I was like, all right, cool. I actually need smarter people around me.
Hell yeah.
You know,
yeah.
to help me elevate. And yep. if I don't, I'm going to get overworked.
Yeah.
And more than likely just become stagnant. So by working with him, now he's been able to help me grow in the space and also create plans. And
so it's been 3 years with him ish, almost 3 years.
Yeah, because I used to, you know, at first I couldn't really see past in there 2 weeks.
Right.
It was hard. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I get this deal. I'm like, yeah. Okay, cool. Like, all right, cool. We got 1 year, 1 year. Because I'm so used to dealing in, you know,
the one year deals.
And now, like, dealing with these brands are so big. Like, you're not, now you're going from like dealing with, now I'm dealing with like $1 billion companies.
Yeah.
So we're like, if you want to, even if you were to start talking to a brand, like, they start like renegotiating, like, and dealing like in a physical year.
Yeah.
And like in the summer.
Yeah.
So you're going, they're already talking about, they're like, let's say you're in 2020, yeah, we're in 2023 right now. Like, they're talking about 2025, 2024.
Yep.
In the summer. They're just like, okay, cool, we need to get this done. And just like same in BMX, where, you know, they're talking about like their new bike line in 24, they're actually talking about discussing budgets and the team for the next like 3 to 5 years. Yep. That's one of the big differences. And also, just I don't speak to one person. Like, I have talked to my brand manager, then also like my personal brand manager, then
that's who we were talking about just now, right?
Yeah, that's okay. So my agent. Okay. Then it's like, then there's, you know, the managers within the brand. So I'm talking to like a marketing manager, a global marketing manager.
Yep.
Then, you know, there's a CEO, there's
product manager, no?
Yep. Yeah. All that mechanics.
Yeah.
Everything. Like mountain biking is a different world.
I believe there's it.
So
yeah.
many moving pieces within the mountain bike industry.
Yeah. I'm so stoked for you to be involved in that world. I just talked to Chris Kyle. He's in it. Like, he's telling his story about getting into it, and Christian Miguel getting into it. And I'm just so happy for everybody doing that. Like,
yeah, it's a good time. I think what people don't even realize is that when I go ride mountain bikes, 99% of the time, I'm riding with BMX riders.
Right? Yeah.
I haven't been on one mountain biking trip where I wasn't around somebody who didn't come from BMX.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
They rode BMX for years. Some of them used to be like Olympic racers.
Yeah.
And they started riding mountain bikes, or they're trail riders. Some, I know guys who ride mountain bikes who they're just kind of like closet mountain bike riders. They go to parks.
Closet mountain bike.
Yeah. They go to parks and shit. They just go ride and they love it. They're like, oh, this is the sickest thing ever.
Yeah.
But they don't really, you never see them post anything about it.
Yeah,
they'll just go to.
It's weird. They're ashamed.
Just go to a park. I just don't think they. I don't know what it is.
It's okay to come out, guys. It's okay to come out.
Yeah, they do that. And
who are some mountain bikers that I don't know about that I should know about? The one you mentioned at the beginning, or like towards the beginning of this, do you remember?
Fuck. Brandon Seminuk.
Nope, before him. But because I know Brandon Seminuk, you mentioned another one that was your homie that was on Canyon, I think. Or
Thomas Janome.
Yeah, Thomas Janome.
Tommy G
on Instagram. Thomas Janome.
It's Thomas Janome.
G E N. Yeah, Thomas Janome.
He's sick. Nico Vink.
Nico Vink.
Nico Vink, incredible. Also builds the sickest jump lines.
Vink Nico.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, man.
Dope.
Him. Have you seen Emil Johansson?
Emil Johansson. So, how do you spell Emil?
E-M-I-L. Emil.
Yeah, and is it Baranek? No, that's a fucking model.
Emil Johansson.
Emil. Johansson. Yeah, there he is. Okay. No, I haven't seen him.
Oh, but he's fucking out there. Combos are out of this world.
Let's go. Oh, he's the tall boy. I've seen his post, dude.
He's from Sweden.
Yes, dude. He's unbelievable.
Yeah,
I saw his, what's it called? What's the contest that just happened? Slopestyle or
crank
something?
Crankworks.
Crankworks, yeah.
Yeah, down in.
He was doing like the 360 whip back or something on the mountain bike. And it's just.
Yeah, Emil, he's young, dude. He's like, I don't know, 22, 23?
Mm-hmm.
Like on fire.
Unbelievable.
Unstoppable.
What's Nicola
Nikolai Rogatkin.
Yeah. He was in BMX for a bit, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
For a while.
And then
now he's, you know, same thing on the...
I just saw a clip of him that, like, did the thing where it went out of the industry and then everybody sees it. It was just the biggest backflip, I think, or front flip over the...
Tom Eisted.
Tom Eisted.
Down in South Africa for Dark Fest. Yeah, 110-foot long backflip.
Oh, hell. Yeah. What you doing, man?
It's crazy. Those jumps are huge. Like, yeah. People don't even... We went to this place out in France called Royal Hills. We didn't get to hit all the jumps because it was too wet. We only got to ride some of them. But how quickly you pick up speed for those jumps. You go immediately from a little roller, 10 foot, 45. Then you just, but you're also at that speed.
Yeah, so dude.
You're going from,
that's wild,
5 mile per hour, and by the time you get down to like the biggest jump, you're going 50.
Yeah. Are you hitting these and doing tricks in the air and shit?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Dude. We didn't get to hit all of them, but we hit the top, like the biggest ones from the top.
Dope.
But I think I haven't hit anything longer than the ones there.
Still, but, though. But that's substantial. That's legit. We'll
go back when it's warm, when it's dry, and just go fire through the lines.
What's your favorite trick to do on a mountain bike? Because it feels different from a BMX, so like some things feel better than others. What's your favorite?
Same trick. Let me see. Favorite trick doing a mountain bike? I don't know. Maybe 1 foot table, something like that.
Nice.
I haven't found the right jump that I want to do on, but I do want to do Superman C-grab Indian Air over like a huge jump.
That'd be dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see you doing that. That's fucking rad. What are your thoughts on helmets? Now that you've gone into the mountain biking world and putting a helmet on.
Helmets? Well, I still get criticized a lot.
For wearing helmets or for not wearing helmets?
Wearing a helmet.
I believe it.
Yeah, because because I don't wear a helmet riding BMX, but
right.
I wear, you know, a half shell when I'm riding a trials bike and I ride full face riding a mountain bike.
Yeah.
Then people send me messages, whatever. They're like, I can't believe, you know, you're a bad role model. I can't believe you're sponsored.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of really passionate people about helmets out there.
The helmet thing in the mountain bike world is just part of the package.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the culture is there. BMX.
It's not quite there in BMX yet.
The thing is, anybody who comes at me who, you know, feels negatively about what I'm doing, riding.
Yeah.
I mean, you can feel however you want to feel. Somebody like, you're a bad role model. I won't allow my kids to watch you ride. I mean, you are the parent. If I was around them, like, I would tell your kids, hey, yes, you should wear a helmet. Anybody who is thinking about wearing a helmet or, you know, kind of apprehensive about it, I'm like, yeah, man, put a helmet on, wear a helmet.
For real.
You know, I mean, I know the risk that comes with what I'm doing. But when I get on a mountain bike, I want to wear a full-face helmet.
Yeah, I would too.
I've never wanted to wear a helmet so badly before in my life until I started riding mountain bikes. I'm like, I want this helmet on. Put this helmet on my head, man. You're going too fast. Like, the tree always wins.
Yeah.
The tree always wins. And you're going 45, 50 miles per hour hitting jumps that are 60, 70 feet long.
It's nuts.
Like, you want to have something on your head.
That's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, you're not hitting. The thing is, you could. The biggest, I've hit big BMX jumps. When you don't want to hit a jump that big or 20 inch wheels.
For real, yeah, no, not stable.
It doesn't feel good. Like, the bike, it's small, it's twitchy.
Yep.
You know, that mountain bike, you having suspension, just the weight alone, the wheel size.
Yeah.
You know, you have 27 or 29 hitting. And not all places they're not smooth. That's one thing. Like, really good BMX trails are so
super
groomed.
Smooth. Yeah.
You know, they look like you're riding on cement.
Yep.
You know? But you go to mountain bike park, it's pretty smooth for that, but you have these huge knobs, you have suspension, and you barely even notice it. But if you're on 20 inch wheels.
Get.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you would be.
Oh shit. That's cool that you grew up racing to give you that bike control that's kind of like with you for life. Like, I feel like everybody who started racing when they were young just have it like ingrained in their brain on how to handle jumping shit. So that's dope. I remember seeing a clip of you like at trails, just not not down. You're like, I'm not hitting these trails. You know what I'm talking about?
You're talking about a Hoffman road trip.
Yes.
When I was out in Colorado.
Yeah.
I hadn't ridden trails in a while. And okay. I made a bet with Seth Kimbrough. I was like, all right, I'm going to. He's like, I bet. He's like, you want to make a bet? And I was like, you think you can make it through first try? And I didn't make it through first try.
I love it, dude.
Yeah, I like bailed and washed out on some landing. But
riding transition is a different ball game. Like, I've grown up riding curbs and banks, but never really been comfortable like popping in the air. What? How do you do it? You just pull back? Ride quarters, ride like a hip, just airing a hip at Tempe Skate Park I'm working on. And I'm like, I'm doing it, but it doesn't feel like I'm basically, yeah, it's just spooky. What's your advice to people who can't air out?
Bike geometry is kind of important when it comes to ramps. But how do I? Just because I'm riding so many different bikes now, riding ramps is always harder for me to go back to the BMX. Unless I ride BMX like every other day.
Yeah. Kind of lose it.
I don't lose. I'm building up a new bike now, but going back to like a shorter back end. So you used to like you're watching three different like head tube angles. So the trials bike is the steepest head tube angle.
Okay.
The front end is much higher than the BMX bike, but also the bottom bracket is really high. The back end is slightly, the back end on my bike is a bit longer. BMX bike, the head tube, it's not as steep.
But since the other aspects.
Smaller front wheel.
Yeah.
So I'm riding 20 inch, 24, and 27 and a half. So the mountain bike is more slacked out. So if I were to just hop over something, I kind of have to. I'm looking at this wheel in three different positions all the time.
Yeah, and that's gonna be weird.
The BMX is a bit. It's the lightest bike. My trials bike is light because I have a carbon frame. But it's just so twitchy. You go from like a 27.5.
Yeah, where like 21. Manualing is a full effort to pull back, and then you get on a BMX bike and it's yeet, you know, like.
You just like think about it. The other day I tried to do, I was messing around doing a hot five on the ground. Yeah. And I almost did 720.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, because I'm not used to it. I actually went a while. I went a few months without riding. I was just on the trials bike and mountain bike. Then I had a shoulder flare up. So I just wasn't riding at all for a few weeks.
Word.
But
then you get back on it and it's a whole different ballgame. What are you looking at, homie?
Yeah, exactly.
Go. Oh, hell. Fucking aid, Brad. Thanks for coming over. You want to wrap it up?
Man, I appreciate you having me over, man.
Is there anything else we should cover while we're here?
Anything else we can cover?
I want people to know he pulled up in a really nice car. Porsche?
Taycan?
Shit. And then there's kids at the pool going, he rich. How much money you make?
That was funny. Yeah, those kids.
That was great. Kids.
But yeah, you know, these are, but when you watch this, my signature colorway will be out for Adidas. 5'10", check those out. Brad Sims, make sure you get those when they drop. And I appreciate the support. Anybody out there who's watching.
Hell yeah. Let's make it happen.
Boom.
I'm going to get some.
Brad Sims in there.
They're looking nice.
Yeah.
Dude, even if they were ugly, I would still buy them to support. You guys should all buy some 5'10 Brad Sims. That's dope. Yeah. I love it, man. All right. Boom. That's a wrap.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for coming. Wait, before we wrap, what are you going to do now?
For the rest of the night? Rest of the night?
Yeah.
Go grab some food somewhere.
Go get some steak.
I might go steak.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, you trying to get a steak?
Let's get a steak, dude.
Yeah.
All right. Peace out, guys.
Steak time.